Excited. Well, the whole month of December is just going to be good because we have testimony each week, and so today we're going to have a testimony from Vinny, and then next week is David, and then the following week will be Holden, and so it's just going to be good, and it's going to be good not because of these three and their testimony, but because of God's grace in their life that they're going to share. God is just so good. And sometimes I think we forget. Sometimes I think that we have a tendency to believe that, nobody understands. Well, you just wouldn't understand because it's just me. And right now it's a pity party and I don't want anybody to ruin my pity party, right? Do we go through that sometimes? Amen. Anybody want to be honest? Yeah, right? We're like, man, this is my pity party. And so, you know, kind of like when I'm talking to my wife, and she's not in here today, so I can talk about her. She's working in the nursery. I'm just kidding. I won't talk about her much. And sometimes when my wife is talking and sharing, and sometimes she's sharing some of her problems or some of her frustrations that are going on, and I got to look at her and ask, do you want me to solve this, or do you just want me to listen? You know, because I'm a problem solver, and she throws it out there, and I want to go, hey, you know what? Well, if you just did this, she looks at me and goes, I don't want any of that. I just want to have a pity party. So just let me cry it out. And I go, okay. You know, act like I care. I really do. I'm just kidding. And so, I'm going to be quiet. Here's what I'm going to do, though. Vinny graduated December 3rd. And so just this past Tuesday, and the Albany Mission program, they have a discipleship program. He was 9 months going through the program, which I'm going to say this, having been through rehab before in my life and understanding addiction and understanding the process of going through it, anytime somebody actually finishes a program that helps get them clean, for them to actually finish it, and it's longer than 30 days, that is a huge accomplishment. Because the reality is that probably 1 in 20 might finish it, and probably 1 in 50 will actually stay clean. That's powerful when you think about it. So I talked to Vinny, and I asked Vinny, I said, Vinny, here's what I want to do, because this whole month, you know, the whole month of December, I teach or preach on It's All About Jesus, because this is his month, and every month is his month, but Christmas in particular, this is when we get the creasters. How many know what a creaster is? A creaster, for those of you who don't know, is somebody who goes to church on Christmas and Easter. It's just my little name that I made up. It's nothing harmful. Don't be offended by that. And if you're here today, obviously you're not a creaster, amen, because it's not Christmas or Easter. So you don't qualify, and that's my best way out of offending those that I just did. But so December is all about Jesus, but here's what I'm looking at this December, and I'm going to unfold this. You don't want to miss, you really don't want to miss December, a Sunday in December if you can avoid it. Today is a gift for Jesus, and we're going to talk about a gift for Jesus. Next week, we're going to talk about a gift for Jesus, and there are two different kinds of gifts. And then the 22nd, we're going to give a gift to Jesus, and you'll see what that is. So as we go through these weeks, you don't want to miss this, because I think you'll really grab a good understanding of who God is, who we are, and what we need to give to Him. Amen. I think it's going to be good, not because I'm preaching it, but because it's the Word of God. And since I had two Bibles up here, that's why I'm holding two. Not because I'm going to like double whammy you, but I'm going to take one and put it in the seat when I get done. Vinny, I want you to come on up here. I'm very proud of Vinny for different reasons. One of which is not the glue that he puts in his hair. Now, I'm just going to say this because I have to say, brother, I have to. We went to the college so that he could check out the college and we can go to a game and do all the fun things we did. But at any rate, he's getting ready, and he has this tube that's about that long, and it's about that big around. And it's close. And he grabs it, and he holds it up, and whoosh. Now, there's that much distance between his hand and the bottom of the tube, but the stuff that's coming out of it, and I'm looking at it, I'm going, that's like liquid nails or something, man. I mean, that's just, you know what I'm saying? And I go, what is that? And he goes, it's hair glue.
Well, you don't have to worry about that.
I have a lot more time up here than you do, brother. You want to be careful. And so anyway, I'm looking at it as he's squeezing it out and it's forming this pile of poo in his hand, and I'm looking at it, and then of course he's got to put it in, and I mean, he's, because this mess dries like a, if you go up and do this, it will pierce your hand. I'm just saying. But
I had the phone hook, it was bad.
I know.
It was
really. Oh, Jesus. But no, let me just share some things about Vinny. Number one, I'm very proud of you because he finished the program. He's still loving Jesus at the end of 9 months, which is fantastic. And not just loving Jesus, but a desire to go on. So what I did was I asked Vinny to share his testimony today. I'd given him 10 minutes. Anything over 10 minutes, a trap door opens, he disappears. And then don't worry about Vinny, because you'll never see him again. And that's a lake of fire, pastor's fire. But I just want you to listen to Vinny's testimony, and I want you to pray for him, because a lot of things are going on, and he's making big steps in his life to pursue Christ and to keep going. So with that being said, give Vinny a hand. Thank you, Mark.
Good morning, church.
You need the
mic. Okay. I don't want to hold it. Can you just turn it up?
It's called rebellion.
I'm an expert. Whoa.
Why do you complicate my life? All right. Tell me when it's good for you.
I don't know. You got to be the judge of that.
Is that good?
That's good. I just want to start in a word of prayer. Father God, I just want to thank you once again for calling me, for choosing me, for allowing me to be part of your kingdom, and allowing me to glorify you, Lord. Most of all, I want to thank you for the blood of Christ that covers me and washes me clean, white as snow, as the hymn we just sang said. So, as I speak this testimony, Lord, a testimony of your grace and your mercy, I just pray that it would touch some hearts in here that could be suffering from the same things, or that were rescued from the same things and need to be reminded of your grace and your mercy, because we get stale once in a while, and we need to be reminded of just how loving and gracious you are. In Jesus' name, amen. My life before Christ, I grew up in Long Island. My parents were not saved. Long Island, huh? Strong Island. They cheated on each other, separating, and ultimately ending up being divorced. My father was actually involved in organized crime. My uncle Mike, Michael Francis, son of the underboss, Sonny Francis of the Colombo crime family. Him and my father were good friends, business partners, etc., etc. And so I ended up glorifying that lifestyle. You know, just seeing all the money exchange hands, the fear that people had when they saw my father or my uncle, who could just just have you just done with a phone call, a snap of a finger, and if they couldn't talk to someone, if my dad couldn't, like, you know, talk somebody down, putting fear into them, he would resort to the physical, and that's the way I thought. I thought that's the measure of a man. I thought that's the way a man was supposed to be. So I had already been sneaking around by that time, smoking cigarettes at a young age. So the addictive behavior was already in place at this time. When I got to my first year of high school, I tried smoking pot and drinking. Started cutting school to partake in these activities. So I ended up being placed in alternative high school, which was for the bad kids, the ones who couldn't follow rules, the rebellious ones. Sorry. At this point in my life, I tried, I started doing drugs. I tried snorting cocaine a few times, smoking pot, drinking. It was just out of control, mescaline, acid, you name it, I was doing it. And then I met my best friend, crack cocaine. It was at this point of my life that whatever my life was worth, it was over as I knew it. It was done. Any good whatsoever in my life just came to a screeching halt. And it started the downward spiral, just out of control. Robbing, stealing, credit card fraud, wire fraud, internet fraud, check fraud, insurance fraud, from family, friends, from strangers. I didn't care who you were. If you were anywhere near me, you were affected. You were infected. I didn't care who you were. Selling every piece of jewelry I've ever owned or you ever owned was the norm for me. Renting out my vehicles to crack dealers, it didn't matter. I would do anything and everything to accomplish the mission, which was me getting my little rock of crack cocaine. I even decided joining the army to try and cure my addiction. And boy, was I wrong. I ended up going AWOL 4 times, finding crack just outside the army base. I wanted so bad to serve my country, but thinking back, it was me trying to fill that void inside me that I didn't know was God-shaped. So I ended up getting chaptered out of the army or kicked out. I got a general discharge under other than honorable conditions. It's not a dishonorable, but it's not an honorable. I carry that guilt around me today. I don't know if that wound will ever heal completely. I believe God will not allow it to heal, to remind me just of where my addiction can take me. I disgrace my country, my brothers in arms, my family, and more importantly, God. So at this point of my life, I ended up going out a couple more years, still using, robbing, whatever I had to do, like I previously mentioned. And then my father calls me up one day, telling me that my Uncle Mike, that same uncle I told you about, who actually went to jail on a federal charge for 7 years, gave his life to Christ in federal prison, and since then has been going around as a faith-based motivational speaker for like the past 15 or 20 years, giving his testimony. And he actually quit the mob without going into witness protection and lived till this very day. And you can check him out if you want, michaelfrancis.com, or just Google Michael Francis. So he told me of this place. It was a discipleship program called Transformation Life Center, or TLC, where I accepted Christ as Lord and Savior of my life, but not fully surrendering. from there, I enrolled in Bible College, Word of Life Bible Institute, to be more specific. Everything was great, so I thought. I was scratching the surface on issues, getting over others, but the full surrender wasn't occurring, so the full healing didn't occur. The deliverance didn't occur. I was, I guess you could say, straddling the fence, if you will. So when I ended up going on Christmas break at the end of the first semester, I ended up relapsing within the first week. Never went back to college. Threw a student loan away. Threw my self-respect away. Anything that people thought of me at college, you know, I let the shame and the guilt just drive me to stay home. The president tried getting me to come back, telling me he knew what I did. He's seen it before, and I told him he was nuts. He didn't know what he was talking about. Just total denial, you know, typical addict behavior. So I went out again, smoking crack for a few years, eventually finding a church, and was okay for a while, but then started again with the drugs, doing exactly the same things as before, only worse. Even while out there getting high, I would witness to people about the gospel of Christ, knowing that my drug abuse is not what God wanted for me. Then came the rededication to my life to Christ. Finally, I couldn't take it anymore. I would always feel God pulling on my heart while I was getting high during the last 4 years, up until right before I came to the mission program in March, last March. It took me to places before I came in here, sleeping in the storage room of my church, sleeping in my dad's van, breaking into cars, sleeping in them. If I seen an abandoned house or a foreclosed house, whatever, you know, I'd pry the plywood off the window, sneak in, you know, just bad stuff, crack hotels. It didn't matter. So I called up TLC and tried to get in there once more. And they say they had to do a month at the discipleship program at the Capital City Rescue Mission, pending a good report from the director, and they would give me the first bed available at TLC. Well, after a week at the mission, I decided that that was going to be the place. That's the place that God wants me. That was going to be the place where I did my program. So I rededicated my life to Christ. And if I learned one thing and nothing else, it's that I am my own worst enemy. Vincent Celli is my own worst enemy. And I have to get over myself and my own flesh, picking up my own cross daily, crucifying the old flesh with Christ. And I haven't looked back since. I am so grateful for yet another chance to make it right with God and for being called to serve Him through surrender to full-time ministry, being called to the pastorate. I'm grateful to God for delivering me from drug addiction, reconciling me with my family, and blessing me with a whole new family, my family in Christ, and also allowing me to continue to go to Bible college, acquiring the knowledge and training to better serve Him in the pastorate, shepherding a portion of His flock, teaching believers and unbelievers about Jesus Christ, and to the addict that there is another way, another life, a life with Christ at the center of it, that He is real, and He wants to deliver them from the ungodly life that they're living, saving them from themselves, and more importantly, saving them from being cast into hell for all of eternity, separated from the Creator. I just want to read a few scriptures. The first one, Pastor, you gave me, Luke 9:62, and it's, this is my life verse. Luke 9:62 reads, "He who puts his hands to the plow and looks back is not fit for the kingdom of God." That just resonates so strong within me. I can't look back. You know, the picture of the plowshare, you know, if you put your hands to the plow and you look back, your natural tendency is to come off that straight line and go crooked. But if you keep focused and go straight, you'll go the straight line. You'll stay on that straight and narrow. You know, and that path, that narrow path leads to the cross. Ephesians 4:4-6, there is one body and one spirit, just as also you were called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all, through all, and in all. Romans 8:28, and we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God and to those who are called according to his purpose. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you. All right, if you would, open your Bibles. It all comes back. Open your Bibles, if you would, to John. And we're going to be... I can't win today. Oh, my goodness. Open your Bibles to the book of John. We're going to be in chapter 6. The book of John, chapter 6, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Does anybody in here need a Bible? If you need a Bible, raise your hand. We'll make sure that you get one. There will be no verses on the screen this morning. So if you need a Bible, make sure you raise your hand and we will get you one. You know, we look at the gift... a gift for Jesus. And when we look at a gift for Jesus, what does that look like? What is a gift for Jesus? What I really find amazing is that in John chapter 6, we find that we are a gift for Jesus from the Father. Now, have you thought about that for a second? That you and I are a gift for Jesus from the Father. Now, when we think of a gift, we think of, you know, it's got to be valuable, right? How many wants a gift that's not, that has no value to it? Nobody wants a gift that has no value to it. You know, and people go and they'll run down to the dollar store and they buy a little $5 trinkety item so they can get you something for Christmas. And then people go, well, it's the thought that counts. Let's be honest. It's the gift that counts, right? And so, right, because you get it and you go, oh, this is so nice. Thank you so much. All right. And because we look at a gift and we go, okay, it's got to have some value to it. And I would rather have, I was talking to Vern a while back, and he said, you know, they asked me, what did I want for my birthday? And he said, the only thing I wanted for my birthday was a handwritten letter from my loved ones. Now think about that for a second. Who writes anymore? Schools don't even teach how to write. They teach you how to type. You're on your own when it comes to writing a letter. People look at handwritten letters, students today, and they go, what is that? A handwritten letter. Why? There's no value in that, but it is valuable. Why? Because it comes from what really matters, and that's the heart, and from somebody that loves you. And I thought about that gift, and I thought, man, what a powerful thing to ask for. No money, just love and a handwritten letter. Not typed out, handwritten. What is in a gift? We like valuable gifts. And yet the Father in heaven gives you and I to the Son. We are a gift. Then I got to stop and I got to look at myself and I go, what kind of gift am I? I mean, is there any value in me? Is there any value in my lifestyle? Is there any value in my decisions? Because Jesus says, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. And what's the commandments? Is to be Christ-like, to follow Christ. So if I'm going to be a valuable gift, what does my life look like? What kind of gift are you? And the reason I'm bringing this up today, because we're actually going to talk about you and I next week. This week we're talking about Jesus, but I want you thinking about what kind of gift you are. Because my challenge to you is, and I'm challenging you today, because then this gives you a couple of weeks to really pray about it, to really think about it, to really process this information. I don't want you walking out of here on the 22nd going, man, I really got to think about what Pastor said. I'm going to challenge you today to do something on the 22nd. And here's my challenge for you. If the Father says, son, I'm going to give you this gift, and the gift is humans, people, that'd be you and I, for most cases. I know some don't always act like it, but nonetheless, we're right there. I want you to think about what stops you from being a valuable gift. And then I'm going to get this, and I know I'm going to get this, and I came prepared for it, is you're going to go, well, God loved me just the way I am. No, he saved you just the way you were. With the idea to clean you up. Come to me as you are. But don't stay that way. Come to me as you are because I love you. But listen, once you come to me, I'm going to give you life. And I'm going to give you life everlasting. But not only am I going to give you life, guess what's going to happen? The lights are going to come on. When the lights come on, you're going to have understanding. You're going to have knowledge. You're going to have wisdom. All this stuff that you never had before, you're going to have it. Which means I'm going to hold you accountable for more because now you understand more of what I'm going to hold you accountable for. So now, my challenge to you is, and I'm throwing this out right now in the very beginning, because I really want you to process this. I really want you to think about this. In this month, the month of December, coming on Christmas, what does your life look like now, and what can it look like that you can give to him as a gift on December 22nd for Christmas? This gives you time, you know, to take the brass out and polish it up real good before you give it. You know what I'm saying? Gives you time to think about what you're going to make and build so you can have it all pretty before you give it to them. I'm not asking you to surrender it today. I'm asking you to really pray about it, because whatever is holding on to you is keeping you away from Jesus if it's not God-honoring. And so the question is, what can you get rid of in your life? What can you clean up in your life to make you a presentable gift to the Son, because the Father has given you to the Son? What is it? Pray about it. Because, you know, sometimes we go, hey, you know what? I've surrendered it. I've surrendered this, and I'm not going to hold on to it anymore. And so, Lord, here, it's yours. Take it. No, really, take it. It's yours. Really, okay, I'll hold on to it a little while longer for you, and no problem. That's what we do, isn't it? We say, Lord, I'm going to give it to you. Okay, I need it back. I didn't really mean that. It's kind of like the man in the boat. He's out, and he's stranded, and he's drying up. He's parched. There's sharks circling his boat, and he says, Lord, if you just get me back to civilization, I will serve you. I will do everything for you. Next thing you know, here comes this barge coming by. They rescue him. They pull him up onto the barge. And he goes, Lord, I know I promised you this, but, okay, I'll give you this now, though, Lord. Well, wait a minute. No, that wasn't what the promise was. What I'm challenging you to do is take the next, from today until the 22nd, praying and asking God, seeking his face, looking for strength to deliver you from whatever that stronghold is that keeps you from being the great gift that you can be. I'm going to challenge you on to the 22nd to get rid of that. To offer it. Check this out. I want to show you some things because I want you to see this. And the next week we're going to unfold it a little bit differently. But I want you to see this. In John chapter 6. Look here in verse 35. And Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. So first he sets it up and says, listen, here's what I am offering you. I am offering you eternal life. I am offering you a gift that nobody and nothing else in this world, in this history, ever in existence can offer you, and that is eternal life in heaven with the Father. That's the bread that he's talking about. This isn't bread that you eat. This isn't dinner rolls. This is life. The bread is life in heaven forever. Now look what he says here. Verse 36. But I said to you that you have seen me and yet do not believe. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and the one who comes to me I will by no means cast out. Let's just stop there for a second. Because I'm talking about the gift, and that we are the gift. And he says, all that the Father gives me, this is the gift, it's you and I. And whoever comes to me, I will no wise cast out. Some of you are sitting here today and you go, you know what? I'm not a good gift. And there's no way I can be a good gift. I'm just not good enough. And I'm going to tell you, you're wrong. I look at, did you listen to Vinny's testimony? Did you listen to what a scumbag he was? I can say that because I was too. I went down the same road, stealing, hurting loved ones, hurting family members, taking advantage of whoever I could take advantage of, living an ungodly life. And some of you go, well, I'm not like that. Praise Jesus. Well, praise Jesus. But guess what? You're still a sinner, dying, going to hell if you don't have Jesus. And you go, well, that's just not nice. This is December. It is nice because it's truth. And truth in love says, hey, God loves you. The Father loves you so much that he's offered you as a gift to his Son. And his Son is perfect. And he says, if you being evil know how to give good gifts, how much more do I love you? God not able to give a bad gift. Now think about that for a second. Let this sink in just for a moment. He loves us so much that he has given us to his Son as a gift. And that gift says, I love you here. Wow. We are so valuable. So valuable. And you say, well, you know what? I can't be saved. I've done so much. Listen, let me tell you what that is. That's guilt talking. That's not the Word of God talking. That's Satan telling you you're nothing, you won't amount to nothing, you're no good. Keep smoking your crack because that's all you're worth. When you let that voice in your head, it's real easy to lose sight of truth. It's real easy to follow that path and go down the path of negativity and destruction because you don't understand who you are. I was talking to a gentleman the other day. We were at the mission, and he said, I need to know what my purpose in life is. Well, our purpose in life is to glorify God. That's our purpose. To build a relationship, to get to know God the Father, and to glorify God through our works, our actions, our words. That's what our purpose is. He says, but I got to know what my purpose in life is. And I said, you know what your purpose in life is to build a relationship. Build the relationship. When you truly understand who God is and that he wants to save you and that he died, that Jesus died on the cross for your sins. And here's the people go, well, you know, I don't have it's all about self, you know, self-esteem. Well, my self-esteem is just weak. No, what it is you don't have your identity in Christ. You've lost who you are in Christ. There's some of you today, Christians, listen to me. You're sitting here today, and I'm telling you this in love. And listen, I'm passionate. You guys know I'm passionate. I'm intense. You already know I'm intense. I'm not trying to hurt anybody's feelings by what I'm saying. I'm just trying to deliver God's message so that it hits the heart. And you guys say, hey, wake up. Jesus loves me, and I'm the gift. The problem with you Christians today, and I say you because I'm not in this boat yet, but I've been in the boat, and I'm sure if I'm not careful, I can return to the boat, so eventually it'll apply to me as well. God forbid, but it can. Many of you Christians today that are sitting there, and you got all this self-doubt, and you go, well, I can live in sin because I'll never be perfect. You're right, you're never going to be perfect. Give up on that. But hey, instead of striving for perfection, how about striving for excellence? You get what I'm saying? I can't be perfect. You can't be perfect. But you know what we can do? We can strive for excellence. Excellence in Christ. Get your identity back in Christ. Look at the world and you go, hey, you know what? This is what the world expects of me. And so therefore I give the world what it expects of me. You've lost your identity in Christ. It's not self-esteem. It's your identity as a child of God, a prince or princess of God, because we are children of the King. And yet we live like paupers. And we want to call it holy and righteous. That's junk, man. You got to get right with God. You got to live right with God and live like a prince or a princess because that's what we are. That doesn't mean we surround ourselves with valuables. It means we surround ourselves with the identity and the love of God. The other Christians, we surround ourselves with a solid testimony that says, Jesus, I love you. And everybody that looks at me says, wow, they love Jesus. That's when we are a gift worthy of having. And some of you just have lost it. Some of you don't have the right teaching. You really don't understand the Word of God. Hopefully, you pick it up and you start reading it. And you go, wow, I am of value here. Let's look at this again. Verse 37. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and the one who comes to me I will by no means cast out. For I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. This is the will of the Father who sent me, that all he has given me I should lose nothing, but should raise it up in the last days. This gift that he's giving me, which is humanity as people, is you and I will raise up in the last days. I will take and protect, and I will take care of, and it'll be good. And listen, whatever is in my hand, nobody can pluck that out of my hand, because I and my Father are one. Understand how important it is to understand your identity in Christ, and then to understand that Jesus Christ loves you so much that you could never escape his grasp. You can never escape his love. You can never escape the relationship with him, as far as we are heirs and joint heirs with Jesus Christ, and we're children of God the Father. Cannot escape it. Can we ruin that? Yeah, we can ruin it. We can break fellowship with God. And that's what your sin does. Listen, how many have ever made their mom or dad mad? Yeah, like who's not guilty of that one, right? I remember I would make my mom, we didn't have money at all. We really didn't. We were very, very poor. I can tell you that I remember days that my mom would be out back. She had gotten some packets of seeds and some plants to grow a garden. And I remember as a little kid watching my mom in the backyard with a big ladle spoon, you know, not the... You know what I'm saying, like the big flat spoons, on her hands and knees digging garden space so she could plant a garden that we would have food to eat through the summer. So I didn't come from a wealthy family at all. My dad had already left. He was gone. He didn't have anything to do with us. It was just a crazy, crazy childhood. And I know some of you can relate. But my mom had got some chairs from a garage sale. And she got them really, really cheap. And how many remember the chairs that had the ribbon laced through? You guys remember that? The ribbon you'd lace through, you get to the end, and you curl it up, and you put your screws, your whatever it takes to hold it in. So my mother got the metal frames and got the rolls of the ribbon, and she got it really cheap at a garage sale. And she spent hours each day doing all the chairs that she had bought. So by the end of the week, she had 4 chairs done by the end of the week. And I mean, I'm telling you, my mom, she did it right, and those things looked so good. And so I remember that at the end of the week, my mom, I don't know where she was at, she should have been watching us, but at any rate, I was on the porch, and she had left the scissors lay there. See, she should have been watching us. And again, she could have been going to the bathroom. I have no clue. All I know is that I picked up them scissors and those chairs, and I was going to help my mom. And so I took in all the work that she put in it, I took it out. I cut all the seating out, and I cut all the backing out. And it's amazing how quickly you can do this compared to how quickly it took her to put it all in. So she comes out on the porch when it's all said and done. She stops, and she looks at me. And I don't really remember everything. I think I blacked out for a while. And then when I came to, my mother was still standing over me, only she's still not smiling. And I just, man, she was mad at me. And she had wooden spoons. And I don't know how many wooden spoons she went through on those chairs, but I know one thing. She had to go out and buy more wooden spoons when she was done. Listen, was I still her child? Yes. Was she angry with me? Oh, yes. What happened? I broke fellowship with my mother. And that's what our sin does with God. When we sin, when we do wrong, it's like cutting all this out of the chair that God's put all the work into, that our Father has done everything to, and we cut it all out. And he goes, what are you doing? And by this point, he has... Because he knew it was coming way before my mom did about the wooden spoons. But at this point, he had Tupperware spoons. They don't break, right? And he wears us out. Because why? We're children of his. We're no longer enemies. We're children of his. And so we don't break our relationship. Listen, if you are a child of God, you are a child of his forever. There's nothing you can do to break that. But your sin, whatever it is, separates you from the blessings of God. Now, if we are called a gift, and it's very clear in John that we're called a gift of God to Jesus. Have you ever thought of yourself as a gift? Okay, some of you went, hey, I'm a gift every day. No. That's not what I'm talking about. Have you ever thought of yourself as a gift? Well, you are. But how presentable you are is up to you. It's up to me. And you go, oh, so it takes works to make God happy? Yes, it does. It doesn't take works to get saved. Because we're saved by grace. It's a gift. See, that's what comes to us. And Jesus loves us. And listen, he prays for us. Look here in John chapter 17. I want you to quickly turn to John chapter 17. In John chapter 17, it starts out, it says, Jesus spoke these words, lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son also may glorify you. As you have given him authority over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as you have given him. He says, listen, you give me the gift, Father, and then the Father, the gift I'm going to give to them is eternal life. This is amazing. This is amazing that what we see happening. You give them to me, Father, I give them eternal life. It just keeps coming around. You can't outgive God, amen? Look here in 17, we'll stay in 17, and then I want you to look in verse 6. I want you to look what Jesus does. Because I think sometimes we really forget that God has not forgotten us. I think we forget that we don't walk alone. I think that we forget that we are not our own. We've been bought with a price. He'll never leave us and he'll never forsake us. I think that we've forgotten that. Well, look here in 6. He says, I have manifested your name to the men who, by the way, he's finishing his prayer to the Father, Jesus is. I have manifested your name to the men whom you have given me out of the world. They were yours. You gave them to me. They have kept your word. Now they have known that all things which you have given me are from you. They understand the gift. He's talking about the apostles. And he says, listen, these 12, they understand the gift. And then he goes on, verse 8, for I have given to them the words which you have given me, and they have received them and have known surely that I came forth from you, and they have believed that you sent me. The key here, guys, the key to understanding the relationship, the key to understanding the gift, the key to understanding what Jesus is talking about is the disciples heard the word and received it. They believed it. They listen, it hit their heart, it pierced their heart, and they went, man, this is truth. And they didn't get lost in all of junk of the world again. They believed Jesus and they believed the Father loved them. Look what happens in 9. I pray for them. Now in Hebrews we see that Jesus, there's only one mediator between man and God the Father, and that's Jesus Christ. Not Mary. Now I know some of you in here have the Catholic background. I get it. I'm not trying to hurt your feelings. I'm not trying to insult you. In no way, shape, or form am I attacking what you believe at all. But what I am going to tell you is according to Hebrews, it says there's one mediator between the Father in heaven and the people on earth, and that is Jesus Christ. Nothing in between, nobody else, Jesus only. And that's why he had to die on the cross. And we're going to talk about that next week. We're really going to unfold that next week. Or on the 22nd. But you got to understand that. So he says here, Jesus says, I pray for them. Listen, this is the love. Look what he does. I pray for them. I do not pray for the world. Wow. How special are we? The Creator, Jesus Christ, John 1:1 says, in the beginning was the Word, And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then it goes on and says that nothing was created that wasn't created by Jesus. Colossians 1:16, all things were made for Him and by Him. I mean, think about who we're talking about here. We are talking about the Creator of the universe, Jesus Christ, who says, I pray for the saved, I don't pray for the lost. That's powerful. I mean, think about how special we are. Then he goes on. I do not pray for the world, but for those whom you have given me, for they are yours, valuable. And all mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I am glorified in them. Now I am no longer in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to you. Holy Father, keep through your name those whom you have given me. Keep my gift, Father. That's what he's saying. Keep my gift. How special are we? Oh my goodness. That they may be one as we are. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in your name. Those whom you've given me, I have kept. And none of them is lost except one. That's the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. And that was Judas. Remember, Judas turned him in. Judas didn't believe. But those who believe, Jesus is praying for. Jesus, he says, I've kept them. I'm keeping them. They are valuable. Oh my goodness, I think, Christian, the reason that we sometimes live like the world is we've lost our identity in Christ and we don't realize how valuable we really are. We don't realize just what price was paid for you and me. We don't realize it. We just don't get it. But Jesus says, man, I've kept them. I love them. Father, keep them. This is a valuable gift. Verse 13, but now I come to you. These things I speak in the world that they have my joy fulfilled in themselves. Not only are we such a special gift that he prays for us and he loves us and he keeps us, but he says, I want to fill them with joy. I mean, look at what Jesus is because of how valuable we are. And then how do we thank him for this? What do we do to say, thank you? What do we do? That's really where you got to look at your life, and you got to look at your lifestyle, and you got to look at your actions, and you got to look at your thoughts. So a man thinks, that's what he is. For out of the heart, that's who you are. Man, how are we good? Are we clean? Not good as in good enough, but are we good because we're taking care of ourselves, because we realize the value of who we are. We realize who we're valued in. And so therefore we want to come and we want to be presentable. Because I'm going to tell you what, if you had a loved one that you haven't seen in forever and they were coming to your house, you'd clean your house and you'd take a shower and you'd get ready and you'd be ready so when that loved one come through the door, you could give them a hug and you didn't have body odor and it wasn't nasty and they would be welcoming and you would be welcoming. I mean, this would be a glorious time. Why don't we do that for the Son? I mean, why don't we prepare ourselves to meet with Him every day? Man, I'm challenging you guys to understand who you are in Christ. That you are so special. You are so valuable. Not because of how good we are, because you know what? Isaiah says we're what? As filthy rags. Those filthy rags are the rags of a leper. And then, you know, they get them sores and boils, and when that boil breaks open, it looks like bloody cottage cheese. You get the picture? And they pull these wraps off, and it just keeps pulling off the cottage cheese. You know what I'm saying? It's like, oh, and it stinks, and it's nasty, and it's infectious. Isaiah says that's what we are. And yet Jesus says, the Father says, Son, this is my gift to you. And Jesus comes down and he's cleaning us up. That's what he's doing right here. He's cleaning us up and then giving us joy and saying, I love you. And man, you know what? The Father gave you to me and I love you. And here's my gift to you. I'm going to make you presentable to the Father because all of our duty is to give glory to God the Father. Ugh. Okay. All right. I couldn't do notes because if I did notes, I would never shut up. And now I'm realizing I probably should have done notes so I'd be quiet. Man, I'm telling you. Okay. How? Like, do you. Okay. About to go Baptist-costal. Okay. All right, it's getting warm. All right. I'm excited. Like I've read this thing 50 times to preach this message. And I'm just as excited today as I was when I first read it. Like, when you're reading it, and all of a sudden, your eyes are open, you go, wow, I understand that. You guys ever been there? And then you go, I understand it, I get it. And then you read it again, and you're like, oh, I really get it. And then you read it again, and now that I'm telling you, and I'm really getting it. All right. Man, this is so exciting. Okay, I'm going to try and contain myself, because we got to finish. Where was I? All right, verse 13. Verse 13, but now I come to you, and these things I speak in the world, that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I don't want them just to be a gift, but man, I want them to be a happy gift. I want them to have joy. How many of you here today are struggling because you don't have joy? And you're like, man, what has life got to offer me? I'm just so sick of this junk, man. I want it to end. But listen, Jesus says, if you got me, you got joy. If you don't have joy, you don't have me. And you go, how do I get this joy? Clean yourself up and be a presentable gift. And you'll get the joy. Because you'll be so focused on Him that you won't be trying to please people. I tell people all the time, if you aim to please God, that's all that matters. That means you're doing the right thing. If you aim to please man, you're going to be a twisted mess. Look here in 14. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of this world. Guys, we think different. We should act different. We should not be of the world. If you're a proper gift, you're not of the world. Then he goes on. I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. That is powerful. He says, I want more gifts, not because I'm selfish, but because I want all the people I can get. I don't want anybody dying and going to hell. And so I'm going to take my gift, I'm going to clean my gift up so they can go out and they can clean up, help clean up other gifts. They can gather them up, give them the word, bring them in. It's the word that changes the heart, not us. It's the word of God. Either man's going to believe it or they're not going to believe it. If you believe it, then heaven is your gift. If you don't believe it, then hell is your gift. That's just really what it comes down to. And he says, you know what? I'm not going to pray that they come out of the world because I want more people to have joy. And so therefore, I'm just going to clean them up. That means we have to be effective where we're at. We got to tell people about Jesus. Oh, well, they'll think I'm a religious nut. What do you think they're going to think of you when they're in hell? Verse 16. I'm trying to be nice. All right, verse 16. I am being nice. Verse 16. They are not of the world just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them by your truth. And then he clarifies this. Your word is truth. So really what he's saying is build them up and grow them by the word of God. Sanctify, build up, mature, grow. That's sanctify. And then he says by truth, and then your word is truth. So he tells us that we should grow in truth, but then he tells us how we do it, and that's through the word of God. That's the only way you're going to get clean is you read the Word of God, you understand the Word of God, and then you apply the Word of God. I'm not asking you to be clean on what my terms and what I've asked you. I'm telling you by the Word of God. Verse 18. As you sent me into the world, I have also sent them into the world, and for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also may be sanctified by the truth. And if you stop right there, we realize that this set of passages was strictly for his apostles, disciples of that day. And then you go, well, Pastor, why'd you get so excited and waste our time? I thought it was for me. Oh, I ain't done. Verse 20. I do not pray for these alone, just those that are around me that I've sent out, but also for those who will believe in me through their words, that they all may be one as you, Father, are in me and I in you, and they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. That's powerful. Read it 100 times last month. Wow. I'm loved. I'm loved. If it doesn't matter by anybody else, I'm loved by my Creator. I'm loved by my Savior. I'm prayed for by my Savior. I am contained and supported and lifted up by my Savior. I am matured by my Savior. I am put out there on the front line by my Savior with a promise. I'll never leave you, forsake you. You're on the front line, I'm on the front line. You're going through it, I'm going through it. I'll never leave you, I'll never forsake you. But you are mine and you are my gift and I love you so much. And if you understand the value that I have put on you, you'll have no problem doing what I asked you to do. We've lost it because we've lost the value of who God is. We lost the value of salvation. We lost the value of what Jesus did for us. I think we've lost the value of it. Because we're so caught up in the value of cars and computers and TVs and cell phones and all this other stuff that we just get lost in because we gotta have it, gotta have it, gotta have it because we're gonna impress somebody we don't even know. And then we struggle and wonder what the problem is. We get focused on the world or on drugs or on all the other junk that's going to poison our soul and then wonder what the problem is. And Jesus says, I'm praying for you because you are a gift to me from my Father who only gives good gift. He doesn't even know how to give a bad gift. But I'm going to clean you up and I'll make you presentable before the Father that you will glorify him if you're willing. If you're willing to be cleaned up. Jesus is praying for you. I'm praying for you. You have no clue. Even some of you visiting here today have no clue how much time I spent praying for you. And other people are praying for you. And I know they're praying for you because they'll send me emails or text saying, Pastor, pray for so-and-so. Or I'm praying for so-and-so. Or can you make this a prayer request? And listen, I'm telling you. Do not lose your identity of who Christ is and who you are in Christ. Grab hold of that and then take care of it and nurture it and grow it. And then you'll be effective. But when you get lost in yourself, that's a lonely place to be. When you lose your identity of as being a child of God, that is a lonely place to be. And nothing will ever fill that void. You are a gift from the Father to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Wow! Who has ever given a nasty gift to the King? Think about that, man. And the Father gave us to him. If you're here today and you go, I don't know that I'm a gift. I don't know that if I were to die right now, I would go to heaven. Because let's be honest, for some that are sitting here, you really don't know whether you want to be honest with yourself or not. If you were to die right now, you go, I'm pretty sure I'd go to heaven. And then if I were to say, well, how are you pretty sure? What makes you pretty sure? Well, I'm a good person. And then, of course, the great litmus test is I haven't killed anybody. That's what I always hear. Hey, I'm a good person and I haven't killed anybody. Oh, you're qualified. You're qualified not to go to prison. But you're not qualified to go to heaven. Jesus said, whoever comes to me, the Father has given me this gift. And whoever comes to me, they're the gift. Whoever comes to me and believes that I am. Then they become a child of the King's. But until you come with a repentant heart, you'll never go to heaven. You say, well, how do I do that? Real simple. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you're here today and you, in your heart of hearts, cannot answer if you would go to heaven or not if you were to die. If you say, I think so, maybe so, then I challenge you to know so. And you say, well, how do I know? You give your life to Christ. How do I do that? You pray this prayer, understanding the prayer does not save you. It is your heart decision to serve God, to give your life to God, to be the gift. The prayer is just kind of a map to walk you through so you know that you did what you did. So that you know it was an on-purpose decision, not just a fleeting thought. And so if you're here today and you want the gift of heaven and you want to be the gift to Jesus from the Father and you want your life to live forever and ever in heaven, then you have to receive Christ. But only do it if you mean it, because if you don't mean it, it doesn't matter. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And so if it's your desire, you pray this prayer quietly in your heart. Dear Lord Jesus, today I want to be your gift. Today I surrender. I surrender all of my sin. I ask for forgiveness of all the wrong I've ever done. Today I repent. Jesus, forgive me of my sin. Come into my life. Today I give it to you.